Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Beth Lee.
And we are the Youngs. Join us today as we begin part four of our episodes entitled Using Technology Wisely in Your Home. We're talking about using technology wisely in our homes. This is actually, I think, our fourth, isn't it?
Yes, this would be the fourth episode of Using Tech Wisely.
And I don't know how far we'll go with this. We don't want to belabor the point, but we've tried to cover a lot of information here just to challenge you to
way
be a
too
help
much to
you.
Do in one episode.
And we found that out. We thought we could do it pretty quickly.
Yeah, we thought we could do it in two.
Remember those three words, those three key words. Remember those?
They are better, balanced, and best.
We want to use technology in a way that is better.
Yes.
In a way that is balanced.
Yes.
And we want to make choices that are always for the best in our own lives, in our marriages, in our children. And so forth.
Certainly with technology.
And so we enjoyed that. That was our first episode. In the second episode, we talked about the nudges, and we talked about the discipline, and we talked about making choices that would help us to accomplish those goals.
Right.
Those goals. And then last week, we defined technology a little bit, just kind of talked about where it was in the past and where it is today.
Right.
And then we started just challenging you and sharing with you, really more than challenging you, the commitments we've made to try to govern our lives so that we wisely use technology.
Right.
And so we gave the first one last week. Let's jump in and review the first one, then we'll give the next two today.
The first one was, we want to grow together as a family, specifically in wisdom and character.
Wisdom and character.
And
wisdom.
Specifically with the technology, we want to make sure that whatever we do with it is helping to build wisdom and character.
Absolutely.
In our family.
And what we found out, and there was the quote we gave last week, that technology poses one of the greatest threats ever conceived by human society to the formation of wise, courageous persons that real family and community are all about.
Right.
And that's quite a long, that came from the book Tech Wise Family.
Yes.
And it's actually so true. It is a great threat. Mm. And it's not that it's always wicked. Sometimes just distracting.
Yes.
And it takes us away from things that are more important, and it actually robs us of many conversations.
Yes.
Many opportunities to laugh and talk.
Right.
I remember when our children were small, you know, we didn't have any of this technology, and we'd travel, and we looked for ways, you know, we'd sing silly songs together. And Beth Lee would read books to the children.
Yes.
And our older ones still comment on Reap and Cheep in the Chronicles of Narnia, because Beth Lee always gave voices. She was a speech major, so every one of the characters had their own voice.
Right.
And even I can hear Reap and Cheep. When I first saw one of the movies from the Chronicles of Narnia, Reap and Cheep was wrong.
That he has the wrong voice.
He has the wrong voice. And so it was such a fun time together. I remember our son Joshua was always asking us about the, you'd see the smokestacks off in the distance, and he'd, what are those?
Oh, yes.
And I told him one day, I was being goofy, and I told him one day, I said, those are cloud makers. That's where they design the clouds, and as they go up into the sky, that's where the clouds come from. And we all laughed about
it. Big puffs of smoke.
And so he, I don't know, was he in high school?
He was.
And in high school one day, we were in the car, and I don't know how in the world we missed this one, but we were in the car, and I said to a friend of mine who was also in the car, I said, see that smokestack over there? I used to tell our kids that those were cloud makers, and that's where clouds came from. And Josh, after a few moments, he was like, well, that's really disappointing, because all my life I thought that's where clouds came from. And so somewhere in science class, he missed the formation of clouds.
Yes.
And
that's my fault.
Trusted me more than a Becca Books.
Yeah, I don't know. But maybe technology would have come in handy then.
We want to grow together as a family was the point.
Right.
And that's character and wisdom. And it's so difficult, moms and dads. It's so easy to struggle here and fail here, because what we tend to do is we choose the easy thing today. It's just easier to let our kids do whatever they want to do.
Right.
It's easier to let them play games for an hour rather than fuss with them about it.
Right.
It's just easier to let our toddler watch a movie rather than engage the toddler in something more productive.
Right. I do remember from the book that one of the examples he gave was that half hour before dinner time. What's everyone doing that half hour before dinner time? Well, I know what mom's doing the half hour before dinner time. And on our house, the half hour before dinner time becomes a everyone in the kitchen time. David comes in to talk, sometimes to help out a little bit. And I call in the children, hey, it's time to set the table. Here, can you help me make the salad? Here, stir this on the stove. But in the book, Mr. Crouch, that's his name, right?
Yes.
Mr. Andy Crouch, he said that that half hour before dinner time, it's so easy. That's the time when you want to turn on the TV or put in that DVD for your little one and say, here, watch this so I can get dinner on. And he said that it was a very difficult thing. And we talked about last week how that doing the difficult thing in the early years makes it easy in the later years.
Yes.
And so he said there were a couple of years there in the Crouch household that it was just difficult that half hour before supper. But now it's a blessed time.
Absolutely.
And now for us, it's a blessed time too.
Yeah, it is. It's a time for our family to laugh and talk and joke and tease.
Yes.
And our sons have learned cooking things. They all enjoy cooking.
They do.
They learned it by hanging out in the kitchen. And
they do.
Bethley's saying, hey, do this and hey, do that.
Right.
And this is how you set the table. And our kids have enjoyed all of that.
Yes.
And it's been a delight for sure.
Right.
So the first commitment we've made, read it again there for us.
Was we want to grow together as a family
and then
wisdom and character.
And wisdom and character. So let's give the second one. What is the second commitment that we are trying to live as a family?
This one can be hard. We want to use technology on purpose.
Key words there, on purpose.
Yes.
And that was easier to do with the television.
Oh, yes.
We determined some years ago that we're only going to do television on purpose.
Right.
So instead of just sitting down and scrolling to try to find something to watch,
yes,
we only turned it on if there was a specific reason.
Right.
We're going to watch this specific ball game. Let's connect. Let's turn it on. Let's watch the ball game. We're done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or we're going to watch this movie together as a family. So we turn it on, connect to the movie, watch the movie.
Right.
We're done. Mm-hmm. Those are on purpose. It's so easy with a TV, mm-hmm. but it's so hard with the phones because phones are continually beckoning to you to say, hey, scroll me.
Right. Or the notifications, which we talked about a couple episodes
listen
ago.
Listen to this. Watch this.
You're in the middle of a conversation and a notification pops up.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a couple of things we could give you here, a couple of thoughts that might help you that's helped us. We work at making TV an occasional part of our life.
Right.
You know, one of the things I've noticed is that it's everywhere now. You can't. The other day I was at the DMV. There's a TV at the DMV.
Right. You can't go out to eat.
You go out to eat in the morning at the hotel lobby. There's a TV blaring in the hotel lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I've been in homes now where there's a TV in the kitchen so that while you're having breakfast, you can watch TV. And it's just everywhere. And it's almost a given of our lives that the TV has to be on. It's on. It's on.
Right.
It's on. But what happens there, that's distracting. We want to use technology on purpose. If there's no reason to have it on, if there's not something productive about it.
Right.
And we're going to turn it off.
Yes.
And we're going to keep it off. So we work at making TV an occasional part of our day and of our life. And we work.
It's not even a daily thing.
It's not even our day. our daily thing. We work at keeping our screens at bay during important times, especially.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you what we mean by important times. Here's a big one. Meals.
Oh, yes.
Mealtime is an important time. We sit down together. We talk. Mm-hmm. We laugh.
Right.
We eat.
We eat.
We discuss the day. It's pretty common in our family for there to be people who linger after the meal.
Yes.
So where we just sit. It's a relaxed time. We've gotten away. The TV's off. There may be some music playing in the background. We often will have music
on
in our
house. Usually do have music on.
And, but there's nobody scrolling. Nobody's distracted. And everybody's talking. And one of the things I've noticed about that is that when we have people in our house, the table becomes a long process.
Oh, and we often have guests in our home.
And the guests will end up sitting at our table. Sometimes we've been at our table for 4 hours.
Yes.
Because there's no distractions. And it's a time, and all of a sudden we're talking about things and laughing about things and having serious conversations about things.
Yes, sometimes counseling.
And the keeping the screens at bay during important time is one of the way times is one of the ways we use technology on purpose.
Yes.
So I'm thinking of meals. There's a few others.
Absolutely.
And
how about during church?
During church. Now, why keep screens at bay during church? Our church uses screens, and I love them. I can't see hymnals anymore. My reading glasses don't help me, and so I love what the words are on the screen
because
I can just look up and sing them, you know.
The screens at the front are not,
those aren't
what we're talking
about. But we're talking about, my kids each have the Bible app on their phone.
Right.
But we make them carry their Bible to church.
Yes.
And the reason being is because a screen is notifications.
Right. We talked about this in a distraction. couple episodes ago.
So yes. Church is one place where we try to keep screens at bay.
Yes.
Here's another one. During car rides, this is the hardest one we probably do.
This one is hard. And we just implemented it not too long ago, I guess. I mean, I don't know that it was a problem before.
It wasn't really a problem. It's just that one day I realized that anytime I left church, nobody would talk because everybody got in to find out what text, what message, what call, what Instagram, and you know, they'd connect to music. And so probably nobody was doing anything that was wrong.
No.
It's just that the family was leaving a very sacred time to us. We are Christians. We are believers. We worship.
Yes.
And we would leave after hearing pastor's sermon that he's prepared for hours and he's delivered God's word to us. And it was very easy. It almost, what made me think about it was the fact of the God's warning. Jesus warned us about when the seed is sown and it can fall on stony ground.
Yes.
And so forth, and rocky soil. And that's where, you know, sometimes the seed is there, but it's snatched away by the cares of this life and by the concerns of life.
Right.
And so we're during a car ride home from church. And maybe the two others I'd mention is after certain hours, we try to no screen time after certain hours. And moms and dads, I want to tell you, the only way I can make that happen is to own the phone and to go under the children's phones and set restrictions with my passcode that they do not know.
Right.
And I just set, you know, this is the last time of the day when you can be on the phone. And after that, it blocks.
Right.
And I leave open the phone. I leave open the message because you could still message after that.
Right.
But as far as games aren't available because it's blocked from after a certain hour. Mm-hmm. And that's a time to quiet our hearts, to go to bed with peace in our hearts.
Yes.
We often encourage our kids to go to bed and read the Bible.
Yes.
Have a devotional time before you go to sleep.
And yes. And, we don't just read a book.
We don't police that.
Honestly, scrolling social media is not relaxing. Mm-hmm. It's not relaxing. Either you're laughing at funny memes, which, you know, are not bad.
Right.
But you're laughing at that, or you're getting upset over some political something that was posted or some issue in the realm of the Independent Fundamental Baptist, and it riles you up or whatever. And so it's just better to put your phone to sleep. I do have a library app. And I love my library app because anywhere I am, I can have a book. And I love to read.
That's very important to my wife, to have a book.
I love to read. But one of the things that I have been trying to do is just not depend on my library app.
Sure.
Because at night, now I can dim the screen. I can put it on that at nighttime. I don't know what it does. It just kind of flips the screen around in such a way that it can't, it's not keeping me awake, but I'm trying to just have a real physical book with me, which can be more difficult. I can't get them from the library and travel with them for 6 weeks on end because the library takes issue with that.
So it's a great technological advantage to have them on your phone.
But at the same time, if I'm constantly looking at my phone, my kids are like, "What are you looking at? What are you looking at?" I'm like, "Well, it's a book, but it doesn't look like I'm looking at a book." Yeah. And then at nighttime too, it's just nice to put the phone down, to not hold the phone. I know in the TechWise family, Mr. Crouch mentioned that when they go to bed, their phones have a stashing place. They don't even take their phones to their room.
They actually use an old-fashioned alarm clock to get up.
Yes, except for the exception of one adult, and I think he said it was his wife, who does take her phone in case they get a call in the night that's an emergency.
Sure.
So,
and so it's just a matter of using technology on purpose.
Yes.
That's the key word there.
Yes.
You've just been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the beginning of our part four of our episode entitled Using Technology Wisely in Your Home. Join us next time as we continue part four.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.